sections. There are six Hebrew letters. It's a poem, an acrostic poem, beginning with all the Hebrew letters, I'm sure he explained. And we're going to begin in the seventh, and we'll just cover three or four today. But in verse 49, I'm going to read a section here. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 49. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And one more section here. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you and turn to you. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you open our understanding and realization and awareness of your presence, of your spirit, of your plan, what you're trying to tell us. And Lord, give us eyes to see your plan, your will, your direction, your way. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist goes on, and, you know, through this psalm, he hits, you know, a lot of topics and covers, mainly Psalm 119 is about God's word. His love for God's word, the value of God's word, the help that God's word brings to those who turn to it, to their life. And, you know, he continues, but I just wanted to look at it. It's almost like, you know, it's so filled with so many truths and or fruit. We're just going to pick a few pieces of fruit and make a little fruit salad. We're not going to go over it exhaustively, but I'd like to look at a few things things we can relate to. Beginning in verse 49, the psalmist writes about the life that God has given him. 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Life, he mentions, giving according to the word. That's what I really want to talk about today, is the life he has for us according to the word. And here, you know, he talks about the life. It brings him comfort. It's what he hopes in, according to his word, the truth written in Scripture that he's opened our eyes to. He's given us life, true life, spiritual life, the ideal life that he plans for us, he's given to us. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible, you know, concurs that it's been given. It's a gift, this life given to us. You know, Paul to the Romans says that, you know, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's freely given. And, you know, the psalmist agrees with that. This life that you've given me according to your word. Peter talks about it. This life given. He said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. He's in agreement with the psalmist. The life that he's given us through the word. We can relate to the life that he's given to us. Isn't that awesome? You know, we read the Bible, and the spiritual truth that's in the Scripture is so relatable to us. We hear him. He speaks to us. It's current. It's present. It's relatable. It's communicated right to our heart. And yet, written so many thousands of years ago by his Spirit. He speaks about the life that was given to him according to the word that we can relate to. Jesus, in the parable of the sower that we read this morning, he goes on and breaks down the parable of the sower. He said that the sower is the Son of Man. He's the one that sows the seed. In Luke, the same parable, the seed, Jesus says, is the word of God. The sower just spreads the seed, says that some seed fell upon different, then he explains different soils or the conditions of man's heart. But he gives the illustration that the seed is there and it just falls upon your heart. And, you know, the different type of conditions of soil, you know, the wayside, the stony ground, hard-hearted people, then the people that are, you know, not dedicated to him, people that are wrapped up in the world, still hearing his voice, still receiving his word, but the cares and the pleasures really the master passion of their life. And he says some seed fell on good ground, good, fertile, plowed up soil. And it bore fruit. A lot of fruit. Some 60, some 40, some 60, some 100 fold fruit. But this morning I just wanted to draw your attention to in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. The importance of this parable. How it relates to our life in Christ. The life that he's given us. The life according to his word. In the Gospel of Mark, he talks about the parable of the sower. Look in verse 11. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. He mentions about this parable of the soils that if you don't understand this parable, you can't understand any of the parables. It's key to unlocking understanding of the parables or even God's word. the truth that Jesus told his disciples that, you know, it's been given to you to understand. This life that's been given to us, the understanding of his word given to us. He just released it. He released our understanding, our realization. He opened up to us the ability to understand. But in here in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, he goes on, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. That's the ones that don't understand. But to you it's been given to understand. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Understanding of this parable, that he sows his seed, Jesus sowed the seed, and that hearts receive his seed, and he grants understanding to perceive him, his way, his word. He illuminates. To you it has been given, eyes to see, ears to hear. Back in Matthew, and I'll read a quick verse. We read this morning, verse 23, chapter 13. He says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30, or some 40, some 30. It's been given to you to understand, and to him who receives the seed on, or has the good ground, good soil, is the one that understands and hears. He's given us that ability to hear and to understand. And sometimes you think, well, man, if I just had that kind of heart, or if I plow it up, I'm the one, see, that needs to have the heart to receive. In truth, he gives the seed. He gives the understanding. He enables us. He gives us this life according to the word. He gives us the ability to understand and to hear him. You know, there's a new downloads for teenagers today. I don't know if you heard about these, that, you know, that at a certain octave, when you get to a certain age, you can't hear anymore. So, you know, teenagers are not allowed to leave their telephones turned on in school. So they go to these websites and they get these downloads, ringtones, that have these octaves that adults cannot hear. It's proven. So they'll hear, you know, their phones will be ringing in class, their teacher cannot hear it. Yet they can hear it. You know, they're tuned in. And he gives us that ability to hear. To, you know, it's not something that you know, we have an extra spiritual hearing ability. He grants us, it's a gift, the ability to hear and understand. It's granted. His life, according to the word, we can relate to, has been given to us. And next thing I want to look at is in verse 54, Psalm 119. He says, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. We relate to that. We sing along the way. You know, we sing his word. We sing scriptures. Some of the songs that are just scripture, we can sing as we move along. But notice, you know, he's talking about the journey or the walk of our life here and until we pass on or go to be with him. He relates to it as a pilgrimage or a journey. You know, you think about pilgrims, you know. First thing that comes to my mind is when John Wayne said, you're a pilgrim. But the pilgrims that, you know, we liken to the pilgrims that, you know, founded or, you know, settled the colonies, Plymouth Rock, you know, and New England. We think of those that leave their homeland and seek a new homeland, to establish a new homeland. Abraham in the book of Hebrews is considered a pilgrim. The Bible says that he sojourned, he camped while he was in the Promised Land, yet he didn't possess it. He camped. He was a sojourner. He was on a journey, you know, on a pilgrimage. The Bible says that he didn't receive the promises that God gave him. He didn't possess or occupy the land. But he looked forward to a land that it wasn't built with hands, whose maker was God. You know, a new land. He's on a pilgrimage, on a journey, looking forward to what the Lord has for him, his home. He talks about his journey. He says, I'll sing songs of your law, of your word. In verse 57, he says, you are my portion, or my destination, or you give me sustenance as I'm on this journey. The satisfaction, the destination, Jesus is our portion. He talks about repentance, and then, you know, as he's on the journey in verse 59, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Thought about my ways being turned away from you and turning to him, the need to repent as we're on our journey, going the wrong direction, going out of the way. These last 2 weeks have been kind of intense for me. We've been doing different kind of schooling and testing, and all along, you know, holding over your head, you got to perform. If you don't produce, you don't meet the grade, you're out of here. So it was like this intense pressure all along. So we're in different classes. We went into the simulators, they're called. These like big computer games is what they were, big screens, and they can, you know, they shift and you drive and they give you different scenarios. They gave us directions, you know. Okay, go out of the truck stop, go turn right on this exit, go up this way, go to the toll booth, you know, take this exit, that exit, get on the freeway, and go to this destination. So we're, you know, we have this route. So he put it on paper and put it in front of us after he explained it to us. But then he says, now realize, you guys, that the first one there wins. He made it a race. Because the first one there gets unloaded will be the first one to get, you know, the opportunity to get a new load. That's all I heard. I'm in a race. So we got in there and, you know, I did a couple of, you know, turns, and I got on this exit. I finally got on the freeway, and I just tore off. And I was like, not trying to speed. You know, I'd go a little bit over the speed limit, come back down, kept my vehicle in the lane, passed my exit right up. And I was making time. I think I went like 40 miles out of the way. Then at the end of the, you know, the contest, he says, or the contest, at the end of the time, he turns it off and he says, hey, Michael, did you realize you passed up your exit? No, I didn't realize. But you stayed in your lane really good. But racing, you know, going out of the direction, going out of the way. And then, you know, after the whole weekend was over, I messed up again. You know, I'm on my way home, and I pulled off on an exit and got something to eat real quick. Got a Coke. I was kind of tired. I figured now I'm going to, you know, really make some time. I'm just going to drive, you know, as slow as I can, filled up. So I got on the freeway. Then I traveled the wrong way. I went the total wrong way. I'm not even going to tell you how far. I'm going in the wrong direction. Until I'm so, you know, if stupid, they say stupid should hurt. I was hurting. I'm looking at things and they're looking familiar. I didn't pass them before. You know, I mean, I'm going in the other direction. I shouldn't have passed them already. But it took me a while, come to my senses, turn around. I called Roseanne. And I said, Roseanne, I can't believe it. I'm going the wrong way. She's there laughing at me. But the truth is, you know, I made a mistake. I went the wrong way. I didn't pay attention. And here he's talking about being, you know, along the way, we're on our journey. We have a life that he's given us, the ability to understand. But repentance, you know, we get off track, we start to drift. You know, here the psalmist talks about how quickly, you know, he turned around in verse 60. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. As soon as I realized I was off track, going in the wrong direction, as soon as I realized I was off your route, I turned around. I came back to you, Lord. I turned and faced you. In truth, hey, that's so important, you know, as we're on our journey to live this life, to stay with Him. He corrected the wrong direction. It's really what repentance is, turning around. Sometimes He assists us in our repentance. Look at verse 67. The psalmist wrote, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You know, that's what we can relate to. We hear, understand. You know, we drift. We get off track. He has to correct us. Sometimes it hurts. You know, sometimes it's humiliating. And yet, before I was afflicted, I went astray. If it wasn't for that correction, for that chastisement, for that intervention, you know, I'd still be off track. That's what he's saying. But hey, I'm glad you afflicted me to keep us from going astray. We have the life that he's given to stay on course. You know, we're on a journey, but to stay on course is what he desires for us to do. We use the tools that he's given us. He says, he turned my feet from your testimonies. We go back to him using the tools that he gives us. Another thing I've been conscious of pre-trip planning and GPS and, you know, all that destination stuff. And there's tools that help. One guy was telling us that, you know, he does his pre-planning. I bought this atlas, man. It's like large-scale print. It's a motor carrier. It's for trucking, and it's awesome. You open the page, you can see it. It's in a huge... And you go over your directions. What he does is he writes each direction on a post-it note. You know, like let's say we got to go to Grosbeck to 696, then 696, next step. We want to take it east, then go to 94 and take 94 west. And he puts it on separate post-it notes, and he sticks them right on his windshield. That way he's not distracted. He can go forward to the next step. He sees the next step, pulls it off. You know, once he makes it, pitches it. Now I got to go to the next step. Without distraction, the ability to stay on course and to, stay on route. How using the tools, you know, he pre-plans, using the atlas, you know, post-it notes, satellite, you can get different directions. To stay on course, to stay in this journey going in the right direction. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Earnest heed means all the more careful attention. He's given us the ears to hear what he's saying, but we have to pay attention and stay tuned in. Stay on course. Go to the next step. And staying on course is part of the journey, part of this life, and the right part of this life. Look in verse 77. Some of the tools, using the tools to stay on course. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live for your law. For your law is my delight. His mercy, calling upon him. You know, so often we fall into like a mode that relies on ourselves. When the Bible encourages us to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that means not getting what we deserve. And grace, that means getting what we don't deserve. We come before him and we call upon him for using our tools for help and assistance to go forward and stay on track, not because we deserve it, but because he offers it. It's who he is. To use our tools that he's given us, his mercy, his love. Look in verse 58. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I entreated your favor. Oh, Lord, give me grace. Have favor, you know. Lead me. Verse 88, using the tools. I'm jumping ahead here. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Oh, I want that life again, Lord, that you've given me. Revive it. Rejuvenate it. But why? According to your love, Lord. According to your grace. According to your mercy. Not because I deserve it. Not because I earned it. Not because I'm performing this week. Not because I, you know, read the Bible 2 hours yesterday. Not because I prayed so much this morning. But because of who you are, Lord, and your love towards me. Grant me, you know, grace. Grant me mercy. Grant me life. And revive me, Lord, according to who you are, according to your love. Simple fruit salad this morning. Life is a gift. Spiritual hearing and understanding is a gift. It's a grant according to his grace. None of us deserve it. But do any of us use it? Come to him, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Grant me understanding. Open my ears, Lord. Tune me in. On a journey, the psalmist wrote about singing along the way. Your statutes, I sing. I sing songs. Staying on course. Enjoying the journey. You know, we're in this, and we're on course, and we're with him, and he's given us life. We're to enjoy it. He grants us the enjoyment. The destination, Jesus Christ. He is our portion. Let's stand. Life according to his word. Given because of his grace. I like that. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all that you've done. We're grateful, Lord, that you've opened our... It's been granted to you to hear, to see the things of the kingdom. That you've touched us, Lord, and we understand. We see. We see your hand, your plan, your word, your will. Lord, do cause us to use the tools that you've given us to stay on course. Your love, your mercy, your grace. Revive us, Lord, according to your love. Rejuvenate us. Open our heart and might your seed might find fertile ground. We look to you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord be with you, cover you with his hand, fill you with his spirit. Help us, Lord, respond to your grace and your mercy according to what you offer and desire for us. That we live this life according to your plan, according to your spirit, according to your word, the way you desire. That we would walk with you, to please you, to love you, to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.